This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
What if we looked at things differently through a different kind of prism? I think that's what needs to happen. We need to forget about the Dow and look at what's happening to the average worker. Because when the average worker does well, we all do well. What we have right now is we're focused on the wrong metrics.
As the horrendous economic news continues to pile up, somehow stock prices keep bouncing back, leaving many of us scratching our heads. This week's guest on Sea Change Radio tries to help us make sense of it all. Mark Toulet, a consultant and expert in the field of sustainable investing, breaks down how Wall Street can essentially ignore economic reality and how the stock market paints a picture of economic health despite the tens of millions of Americans suddenly out of work. Will Wall Street be able to paper over the vast inequities in this country and propel the sociopath-in-chief to re-election in November? Or will this finally be the moment when we recognize that the stock market is a poor barometer for the country's economic well-being? We also discuss the pandemic's effect on sustainable investment, examine which companies are seriously committed to the green revolution, and try to predict what this upheaval will mean for Wall Street long term. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Mark Toulet. He's the founder and CEO of Sustainability Risk Advisors. Mark, welcome back to Sea Change Radio.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
So why don't you first explain what Sustainability Risk Advisors does? You focus on environmental investing or environmental variables for your clients, correct?
Yes, I work with large investors and companies to help them implement environmentally sound and sustainable business practices.
And some of your clients include?
Walgreens is a client. I'm working with the Global Reporting Initiative and working for a couple investment firms. So it keeps me busy.
And you're trying to help them evaluate the sustainability factors that go into it more than whether or not a stock is going to go up or down. Is that correct?
Right. I have very little to add in terms of a stock going up and down, but I do know how to help companies understand their environmental footprint, how well they treat their employees, whether they're a good environmental steward, whether their supply chain's at risk, things of that nature that impact people, planet, and profits.
Well, you have a new piece that we'll link to at seachangeradio.com. It's on the Responsible Investor website, and it's called The New Normal in Sustainable Investing in the Aftermath of COVID-19. The basic thesis is that we're going to see less and less of a distinction between sustainable and traditional investing, and you think this COVID-19 may accelerate that transition.
Yes. And I think it was Charles Dickens that said that's the best of times and the worst of times or something like that. Mm-hmm. But that's how it feels right now. I mean, we have over 30 million people unemployed now, which is more than the total jobs created over the last 10 years. So I'll try not to be too depressing here, Alex. At the same time, this April was the best month for stocks in 33 years. So that is a disconnect, right? If you have stock markets, stock prices going through the roof, and you have more than 54% of the stores in the U.S. closed, there's still a big gulf between Wall Street and Main Street. But I think that this is going to be a tipping point and a time for customers and investors to reflect on whether a company is being a good corporate citizen or not. How are they treating their employees? You know, for example, some companies like Hilton, they're giving up the CEO and their executive management's giving up 50% of their salary. While on the other hand, you have companies like Disney, which their CEO is making 900 times what a medium employee makes, which is just staggering. It really needs to be brought down to earth.
And that's just salary, right?
that's just salary, right? If you include the stock options, it's just unbelievable. And Disney laid off or furloughed 100,000 employees. So you have some companies doing the right thing and some companies kind of ignoring the new math and doing the wrong thing.
So the thesis of your piece is that sustainable and traditional investing is going to kind of merge more and more. But on the flip side, we see the connection of economic sustainability and success diverging more and more with what's happening on Wall Street. How did we get here? We've always heard that, yeah, the economy doesn't equal the stock market, but I don't remember in my 30-something years of following the stock market it ever being like this.
Yeah, it's gotten worse, and it's getting worse, but it's going to get better. And I think it all started in 50 years ago. Milton Friedman, the person we all like to pick on in my archaic little world, said that the responsibility of companies is to purely make money. So he said that the shareholders were the only folks that mattered out there. So only the people that own the stock are the only group that a company or a CEO should care about. And now that's called kind of shareholder capitalism. Now we're moving into a new phase, which is called stakeholder capitalism, where companies need to pay attention to their communities, to their workers, or particularly the millennials, they're not going to purchase their products. So just like the CEO salaries need to come back down to earth, in 1965, by the way, the ratio was 20 to 1. So the CEO only made 20 times the amount of your median employee. Like I said, now Disney, it's 900 to 1. But for most companies, it's about 170 to 1. So there's still room there for more equitable capital markets behavior. And I think it's changing.
Yes, we say, well, and that's not even including stock options, but for the vast majority of these CEOs, the biggest share of their wealth comes from their stocks usually. For some of these big right. Fortune 500 CEOs, I mean, they may make $1 million a year in salary, but they could be worth $150 million because of their stock.
Right.
And so when we consider 170 to 1 in terms of CEO to average worker salary, it's even worse than that. But it's apples to oranges because most of those workers don't have the kind of stock options that their CEO has.
That's right. And when your pay is tied to your stock price, guess what? You're just going to care about your stock price. So what the movement is now in stakeholder capitalism is to kind of reset the compensation schemes so that a company CEO is evaluated based on their ESG performance in part, environmental, social, and corporate governance performance. Like I said, how well they treat their employees, whether they're paying attention to climate change, whether they're treating their suppliers correctly. Well, so all these other factors are coming into play, and investors are now kind of pushing companies out of their comfort zone. I agree. It's even more distorted than what you indicated.
So let's look at just the Dow now for a second, because that's kind of the easiest and obviously not the most accurate indicator of what's going on in the stock market, but it's kind of an obsession of the casual news follower like myself may not be looking at the S&P 500 and the Russell 2000, but we all kind of know the Dow through the years. I mean, I remember when I first came out of college, the Dow was like at 1800 to 2500, and then it broke through 3000, and they were like, oh, it'll never go past, 4000, and then it was teetering on 30,000. I think it may have even broke it during the day at some point this winter. And then it plummeted down to in the 18,000 range once things kind of became clear how terrible this pandemic was going to be for global economies. And then it's kind of somehow, as you mentioned, April was this incredible, not bull market, but it was a big month for buying on Wall Street. And the Dow went back up to where it is now, which is like 24.5. And, you know, so it's still down 5,000-6,000 from its high. But take us into the mind of a portfolio manager at who manages, let's say, a Fidelity mutual fund. What kind of thought process, forget about sustainable investing for a second, but just from a pure economic value standpoint, how is he or she doing the calculus that, hey, this is going to be great. 50% of stores are closed. We don't know when this is going to end. There may not be concerts and, you know, sporting events for the rest of the year. I'm going to just dive right in and buy lots of different stocks, because that seems like they're seeing a lot of value there. Well, how do you discern value in such uncertain times, Mark?
Well, I wish I had the answer to that question, but I think the portfolio manager for Fidelity is more worried about his boat or her boat than they are the welfare of the public. And I, you know, it is an important question. And what's happening now is the amount of stimulus that's in the market, the amount of money that's sloshing around, it's unbelievable. It's over $2.5 trillion that the government has put into the economy. That's like three times the amount in 2008. And that doesn't even include the states.
And that doesn't even include the Fed loans that banks
right.
didn't necessarily act upon.
Yep. And what these portfolio managers are seeing is not only is there that stimulus out there, but the companies that were poorly managed are now being bailed out in a lot of ways. While it's not the fault of the airlines or the hotels that they're adversely impacted more so than any other sectors by the pandemic, they still did not have a rainy day fund. They had very little cash on hand, and they were doing this game called share buybacks or stock buybacks that you're starting to hear a little bit about.
Yeah, these are like the new collateralized mortgages of this decade, aren't they? Yeah, this is like where the house of cards is being revealed. Why don't you explain how that works a little bit for laymen?
Yeah, well, if you have excess cash, you buy up the shares, the extra shares in the market, and because there are less shares out there, the stock price goes up. So it's not surprising that CEOs whose compensation is tied to the stock buybacks will buy back more shares. It's common sense that they do that. And I call them WMD. These are weapons of mass destruction because they take money out of the company and take money away from their employees, and it's the biggest transfer of wealth in the history of mankind that you see all this money going from companies to shareholders, and enough is enough. We need to kind of put the brakes on CEO compensation. We need to stop these share buybacks. We need to tax them or somehow stop them from happening. And we also need to curb these dividends that are still going out for these companies that can't even pay their employees or paying these massive dividends still. Enough.
And when you say enough, this means that politicians have to step in at some point. We need legislators to enact laws that will peel back some of the problems that lead to this kind of inequity. But that's not going to happen as long as Donald Trump is president, it seems like. He's looking at that Dow number and thinking, as long as it's up, I got a chance of being reelected. That seems like be his very simple calculus with all of this.
Right. And if companies in the Dow are not doing well, I'll bail them out. So, and then the CEOs are buying back the shares. So they're making sure their stock price is pumped up beyond what it should be. And until the public becomes aware of this and there's kind of massive kind of groundswell of protest, which is starting to happen, then I think we're kind of headed for a next Occupy Wall Street movement here. Once it becomes aware that, you know, this is just unfair in the current environment.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio, and I'm speaking to Mark Toulet. He's the founder and CEO of Sustainability Risk Advisors. So, Mark, we're talking about the role of the political class on Wall Street. Nobody wants to be responsible for that Dow to go to 15,000. Everybody wants a high Dow in this insane world, because we have, whether we like it or not, become accustomed to equating economic success with a high Dow Jones Industrial Average. How do we break that paradigm? Perhaps this next 6 month period will be kind of one of those clarion calls for average Americans who just look at the news and think the economy is great. Now they may look at it in a different way.
Yeah, I hope that's what happens. I hope this ushers in looking at paychecks versus looking at stock price as an indicator of a company's health. What if we looked at the total amount of employment a company has and viewed that as a positive? What if we looked at whether the products and services the company provides are climate friendly and contribute to a more sustainable world? What if we looked at things differently through a different kind of prism? I think that's what needs to happen. We need to forget about the Dow and look at what's happening to the average worker. Because when the average worker does well, we all do well. What we have right now is we're focused on the wrong metrics.
So is it wrong to be rooting for the Dow to go down? I'm not an investor. I don't think this is a healthy situation in this last month. I thought it was much more in line with reality when it was tanking. Yes, I felt callous to think that, oh, there's these people who have 401ks that are shrinking. But the amount of people who are dependent on 401ks for their well-being is nothing compared to the amount of people who are worried about getting enough in their weekly paycheck to meet their basic needs.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the Dow is 30 companies. And when a company isn't doing well in the Dow, then what happens is these index providers just throw the company out. So there's a lot of turnover in the Dow anyways. So it's supposed to represent the economy, but there's a lot more turnover than there should be.
So let's dive into some of the trends that you see happening in sustainable investing. We've already hit upon CEO pay getting scaled back and being turned into something that's much more reflective of how it used to be maybe 50, 60 years ago. I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon, but it's a noble goal. What are some of the other goals in the sustainable investing community that you see being highlighted over the next several years?
Well, I think the information that you're going to be seeing coming out of companies is going to focus on environmental, social, or another way of saying it, people and planet. So you're going to see more information coming out by companies on how they're addressing climate change. There's the Task Force on Climate Risk Disclosure, a terrible acronym. There's SASB, Sustainability Accounting Standards Board. So we're getting standards now that are going to provide individuals and portfolio managers with a more complete picture of a company's, whether it's future fit or not. And that'll help, because then CEO compensation will be adjusted to not just on what their stock price does, but how they are in the community, how they are as a global citizen, how they are to their employees. And it'll go from a vicious cycle to a virtuous cycle. And right now, the sustainable investment market is not tiny. It's $30 trillion. So, and it's growing at over 15% a year.
But that's a pretty wide net, though. What's the definition of sustainable investing in that scenario with $30 trillion worth of assets? Does that mean just like a company that's not an oil company?
Yeah, it's an important point, especially if you're new to the field and you're trying to figure out which ones are green, which ones are greenwashing, which ones are pretenders, and ones that are really committed to making the world better. And there's something called screening now, which is that started in the 1400s. And it's very simple. It means that you don't invest in things that are against your values. So alcohol, tobacco, and gambling, for example. So I don't call those sustainable investing because that is about values, not value. Sustainable investing is when you look at more than just financial information. You look at environmental factors, social factors, how well a company is performing in its community, things like that. And there are metrics there. There are hard numbers in there.
Can you name names for us? It might be helpful to kind of like highlight some companies that you think are doing it right while others are, yes, they're technically in that area of sustainable investment, but it's kind of pushing it.
The Calvert investments are very good. It's a medium-sized firm. And I'm a big fan of BlackRock's too. I know they're really big and I know people don't have an issue with them because they're big, but they have low fees and they do a really good job. Another one is TIAA Cref. And one that I think is, I wouldn't put my money in from both an investment point of view and an ESG point of view, is Vanguard. And I know that's probably going to get me in trouble, but I just don't think they're committed to it and they give it lip service and I wouldn't put my money there.
So those are mutual funds. What about companies themselves? And most listeners, I'm guessing, think of individual stocks when they think of companies and their performance rather than the reality, which is mutual funds and what we're talking about at the Vanguards and the BlackRocks. But let's name some corporate names, too, in terms of the spectrum.
Okay. So you really want me to get in trouble here, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So there are a lot more companies doing the right thing now than the wrong thing now. But I'll give you three companies that are underperforming, and then I'll give you three companies that I think are just doing a terrific job.
And just for our listeners, this is just purely in meeting sustainability standards, not whether they're performing well in terms of stakeholder value.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah. I'm not speaking to the investment quality, but the sustainability attributes of the company.
Right.
So I mentioned Disney. I think Disney is behaviors kind of deplorable. And I think it's a stock to avoid. Another one is Amazon. Amazon is really been a beneficiary of the pandemic from a business point of view, but they've been firing people that have been protesting their warehouse conditions. And I think they can do better and they should do better and we should put pressure on them to do much, much better. They can afford it and they're falling short. So Disney, Amazon, and the third, I think, is Marriott, which has a problem on the executive comp side as well.
And so those companies would still be considered sustainable investments by some metrics, right?
Right. They would. No, you raise a good point because the definition of whether a company is sustainable or not, or their sustainability performance is acceptable, has changed owing to the pandemic. This is a stress test, and it really is changing how analysts look at the company fundamentally. So it's really a sea change. And the good companies now? The good companies, Unilever is doing a terrific job. There's Home Depot is doing some great things. It's too bad I know the companies that are underperforming more than I know the ones that are excelling. But those are two that are doing a terrific job.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio, and I'm speaking to Mark Toulet. He's the founder and CEO of Sustainability Risk Advisors. So, Mark, let's assume there's a vaccine and this pandemic does not last forever, but let's say it's in the next year, things are back to normal in terms of health. How will this COVID-19 pandemic affect the way we look at sustainable investing down the road, like in 3 years? We said that maybe it's going to expose some of the discrepancies between Wall Street and Main Street, but how will it transform thinking from like a Vanguard portfolio manager or a BlackRock one?
Yeah, that's a great question. BlackRock is now committed to publicly to assess each company based on their impact on the climate. So climate change performance is going to be assessed. And if a company is falling short, they're not only going to vote kind of against shareholder resolutions on climate change, but they're going to vote against the board of directors. So they're going to be able to throw board members off of a board because of their performance, underperformance on climate change, on environmental performance, on social performance. So I think you're going to have within 36 months, there'll be every type of investment will include some sustainability criteria. So there will be no, there won't be a discernible difference between sustainable investing and investing. It'll just be called investing. So investing overall is going to change fundamentally. And we'll get more women, we'll get more diverse boards, we'll get more women CEOs. And this is going to create what is called stakeholder capitalism, and will finally, finally be able to throw the Milton Friedman doctrine kind of out the window, which is my hope.
Well, after the Deep Horizon oil spill, we spoke, Mark, and you were hopeful that it was going to be a wake-up call for a lot of the investment community to stop looking at fossil fuels and big oil as a safe, responsible investment. And it took a little while, but the divestment campaigns around the world seem to be resonating in boardrooms and on college campuses. And we're starting to really see renewables coming down in price. So it took almost a decade, but we're getting to that place where we can see hope on the horizon in terms of turning the page on fossil fuels. And now hopefully we can do the same when it comes to looking at stakeholders and how we're all invested in these companies in some way as a society rather than just pure profit and shareholder value.
Yeah, I think the difference between try and triumph is a little oomph. So we just need a little oomph. And I think we'll get to where we need to go.
Mark Toulet, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by The Budos Band and Elvis Costello. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.